Hello and welcome to The Check-In, our daily forum for community connection and conversation here on KBIA. Today, May 5th, 2020, has been designated as a worldwide day of giving. It's Giving Tuesday now, and this year, there are an awful lot of people in need of our generosity. Giving Tuesday is a global event. It's happened annually for the last 8 years or so, usually in December. The day is leveraged by charities, nonprofits, universities, other kinds of entities worldwide to fundraise for a wide variety of causes. But this year poses challenges for groups who raise money through private donations because this global pandemic we're in has not only created a lot of need, but it's also been accompanied by a global financial downturn. So how is our charitable giving impacted by this financial crisis? What impact will all of this have on organizations relying on giving to stay afloat themselves? For those of us who want to give, how do we decide where to donate to make sure our gift gets to the places and the people who need it most? Today, we're going to unpack all of this with a team of community leaders that have a lot of experience in outreach and philanthropy. They've banded together to raise money on this day in our community and get it to the places that need it most. We're talking with six directors of key relief organizations today in mid-Missouri, including the project known as ComoHelps.org. That's a collaboration between the City of Columbia, Boone County, and nonprofit organizations who we'll be speaking with today. It's coordinating relief efforts in our community. Today, we'll hear from the Heart of Missouri United Way, the City of Columbia, Boone County, Veterans United. First up, we're going to talk with John Baker with the Community Foundation for Central Missouri. John Baker, welcome to the check-in.
Hey, Janet. Thank you. Glad to be here with you. Looking forward to visiting.
Thanks. And we're also kicking off this discussion today with Lindsay Young-Lopez, the Executive Director of the Food Bank of Central and Northeast Missouri. Lindsay, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thrilled to be here.
So as always, listeners, you can join our on-air discussion today. It's a different number. Our usual call-in number is being used for people who want to give to KBIA for Giving Tuesday. But if you want to join our discussion, you know, are you participating in Giving Tuesday today? How did you decide who to give to? Are you still trying to decide? Give us a call. Let us know what you're doing. Maybe you're a volunteer. You work with a nonprofit. Many of our listeners are involved in this day in other ways. Let us know what you're doing, how you're involved. Producer Christopher Husted will take your call and we'll put you through to the discussion today with all of the key directors of philanthropic organizations that we're talking with. Lindsay Young-Lopez, let me start with you. We talked with Seth, your colleague, a while back about the incredible demands for food right now, with supply lines interrupted, with so many people unemployed, and then all those school kids who are missing school meals. You all have so much that you're dealing with. You're involved with Feeding Missouri, which is statewide. You're the executive director at the food bank here for Central and Northeast Missouri. My first question for you, Lindsay, is just how are you doing and how is the organization meeting this demand for food right now?
Well, we certainly know that it's an unprecedented time, and during normal circumstances, the Food Bank for Central and Northeast Missouri is serving more than 100,000 food insecure people every single month in 32 counties. This is anything but a normal time, of course, and so we are seeing an increased demand in the number of people who need assistance from our various programs, and many of those people are coming to us for the very first time. What I tell my team of 64 people on an ongoing basis is I know it's difficult. We're an essential organization, and that means that we have to remain committed to this mission in any way that we possibly can. But we have to take creative approaches to doing that. We have to be flexible and adaptable, and that's what we're doing. And I can't say enough about our team because they are so dedicated and passionate and committed, and it's really incredible to watch how they've come together.
I know that a key thing with demand for food and the need for food during this crisis has been supply lines and logistics associated with getting food to the people who need it. You probably have had to change some logistics quickly to respond. How has that gone? And since you're involved with Feeding Missouri statewide, how has what your efforts been and your demand been in Central and Northeast Missouri compared to statewide?
Sure. So we are part of that network of 6 food banks in the state through Feeding Missouri, but also nationally we're part of the Feeding America network of more than 200 food banks. And we are really reliant on that partnership for about 80% of the food that we take in. So in terms of those supply chains, everything has shifted. Our model is very much one that is based on donated product. We charge nothing for the food that we distribute through our food bank. We're the only one of 6 in the state that can claim that. And one of very few nationwide. That's because most of those food banks charge a shared maintenance fee, and we do not. Because we rely on the donated product, we are now, because the supply chains have lessened, we are now more reliant on having to purchase product, and it's expensive. Even with our purchasing power, it's very expensive. And what we're seeing is that if we place an order for food, if it's available, prices are higher. The wait times in order for us to get delivery of the food, those have increased substantially. And then in some cases, we're placing the order with no assurance that it will even come in. So it's something we're watching really, really closely, and it is a national issue.
All right. Let me just remind listeners, this is the Check-In on KBIA. We're talking with directors of ComoHelps.org, and we're talking with the Food Bank of Central and Northeast Missouri about giving during this crisis and resources available to those in need during this crisis. If you have a question for one of our guests, if you're participating in Giving Tuesday now today, but let me go to you, John Baker. You are in many ways right at the center of activity today with the Community Foundation and ComoHelps.org. We talked a little while back when the check-in and our stay-at-home orders and all of this first started rolling out with this crisis, and you were already getting ComoHelps.org as a coordination and collaboration between so many entities. What has changed since we last talked, John, and let me just ask how things are going generally with your efforts?
Well, I think things are going relatively well. The collaborative group is meeting every day. We have an early morning phone call that usually lasts an hour, hour and a half. Through the ComoHelps.org website, we receive applications from nonprofit organizations who are having stepped up services that must be delivered, or they are expending the stocks or stores or whatever they have and they need some assistance. And so we receive applications for money, which they then convert into the services which they provide. We were very pleased to make a large distribution to the food bank. Lindsay's on the line with us here, and that was one of our collaborative decisions that we made. It was quite a large food buy, and we are open for another one, Lindsay, whenever the time is right, just to let you know. But thus far, we've had $1.3 million of requests come through, and we have funded around $780,000 worth of requests. So this is the result of the collaborative effort. And again, the collaborative is City County, United Way, Heart of Missouri, Community Foundation of Central Missouri, and Veterans United Foundation. So those are the 5 funding groups that have come together to create this collaborative, and it's working very, very well. We've not come together like this before. We all have our own little things that we do in certain ways, but we are being creative, we're being collaborative, and making, I think, a good impact here in Central Missouri.
John, you mentioned that you've had many, many requests. How are people finding you? I imagine, you know, we give the number out on KBIA, but I imagine a lot of people that are the most in need of resources do not know how to find the website and are not necessarily listening to KBIA when we give it out. How are people finding you?
Right. Well, there are several ways that people can find the information. And again, I want to just clarify, the ComoHelps.org, the grants that go out from the collaborative are going out to nonprofit entities or municipalities.
Yes.
Who then convert that into services.
Okay.
People who need assistance, many of them already have some attachment to a nonprofit entity that has served them in the past. They are to go back to that nonprofit to see what can be done, or we suggest everyone dial 211 on their telephone.
Mm-hmm.
This is a regional helps directory where people can hear an individual or a family's story and then can guide them to certain nonprofits or municipal help points for them to get the assistance that they need. So that's what we are encouraging people to do. We look at the nonprofits as the frontline providers of services, and thus we as the collaborative fund those nonprofit entities to provide those services.
Yes, okay. Well,
Go ahead. And the ComoHelps.org website, we've shared that liberally with the nonprofits in Central Missouri and Columbia and Boone County in particular, and through emails from me, through city offices, the United Way offices. A lot of folks are aware of that website.
Yeah, that sounds good. And we can put that question to Andrew Graybaugh, who will be joining us from the United Way here in a few minutes as well. John and Lindsay, we have a caller. We have Julie calling from Columbia with a question. Julie, thanks for calling. What was your question?
My question is, I hear these stories about the farmers that are having to dump milk and kill their hogs and things like that. And I guess I'm just wondering if there's some way that instead of, you know, wasting and losing all that food, I think of all the hungry people, and I wonder if there's any way to get it into the food bank or wherever else place to not waste it.
Okay, great question, Julie. Thanks so much for calling, and thanks for your question. Lindsay, I know we've talked a little bit about this on the check-in before, and I feel like some of our advisors and farm experts were saying it's not as big of a problem in Missouri, this waste of dairy products. But is that something that you have dealt with and had to redirect some of those supplies to people who need them?
Well, I appreciate the question, and it is concerning to us as well. You're absolutely right. The problem is not as prevalent here in Missouri as it is in other states, but please be assured, caller and anyone listening, that we are working very closely through Feeding Missouri as our advocacy arm. We work closely with the Department of Agriculture and with other state entities to ensure that we can have access to those items.
All right.
And
go
can
ahead,
you,
John. Yes.
Am I still on to?
Yes, please.
Tell.
Yes.
And the Collaborative also made a grant to a Central Missouri nonprofit that specializes in swine production. And so a lot of those animals were harvested and the meat has been converted into donatable product. Yes. So some of that is happening indeed.
Okay, great. Well, we are out of time with John Baker and Lindsay Young Lopez. Thank you so much for joining us. And please stay tuned. I know you all have a big event going on here in a few minutes after the check-in finishes. But let me say thank you for checking in with us today and best of luck on your efforts today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And next up, we are going to bring in Joanne Nelson. Joanne is with the Boone County and heads up Community Services. She's the Director of Community Service for Boone County. We also have Steve Hollis on the line. Steve has joined us before. He's with the City of Columbia, and both are very involved in ComoHelps.org and also city-county collaboration relief efforts. Steve, welcome to the check-in.
Thanks for having me again. I appreciate the opportunity.
Sure thing. And Joanne, thank you also for joining us. It's nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Let me just ask, Joanne, let me start with you. You are fairly new to Boone County as the Director of Community Service, if I understand correctly. And kind of you got started just as this pandemic started ramping up. How has it been for you adjusting to this role in the midst of a global crisis?
Yeah, it wasn't a fun time to actually start a new position, but fortunately, I had been with this department for 6 years before I accepted the position as director, and I've had a lot of experience working with the other funders in the collaborative, so I've been real fortunate that, you know, as hard as this time has been, and I've had a lot of, you know, good support with other stakeholders as well as staff that have been super supportive of, you know, this time. Period.
That's great. Good to hear. Well, both of you have extensive experience in local government and community service here in mid-Missouri. Let me ask you, Steve, because you can give us an update from the last time you've been on. What are you seeing right now as the major issues or vulnerabilities that people are dealing with during this crisis? And how are your relief efforts being coordinated? How are things going?
Sure. Just a quick background, kind of boring and not very sexy, but just to give folks an idea of the coordination that happens, we're operating under Boone County's Emergency Operations Plan. I lead Essential Support Function 6, that's Mass Care and Human Services. Our department also leads ESF 8, that's Health and Medical. Como Helps is kind of under ESF 5, that's Resources. And that's because Como Helps can meet resource requests from different essential support functions. So we're wearing multiple hats. Poor Joanne,
yes.
I've pulled her in as kind of my sidekick to help lead ESF 6, that's Mass Care and Human Services. And so that's kind of how this stuff works. We have a daily call where we talk about needs. We're also seeing needs that are identified by the proposals that come into Como Helps. I would say that our needs have not really changed as far as top needs from what they always are. They're just magnified, and almost always our top 10 needs in Boone County related to housing. So those are things like rent assistance, shelter, utility assistance. Those continue to be big needs. We've also focused a lot on food. So those continue to be kind of our top needs that are just magnified in the disaster.
Well, that's great. Those were not great, but it's great that you mentioned that, because those were exactly my next questions, is what's happening with housing? First of all, let me ask what's happening with housing for low-income people who are struggling to get by. Are there any kinds of rent breaks? How are our landlords handling this in mid-Missouri and in Columbia? And how are people, what are you seeing as far as how people are struggling and how they're getting around it?
Yeah, so the city and other utility providers have suspended disconnects. Also, they're not holding hearings on evictions. So we think we're in a little bit of what we call kind of the eye of the storm here. We anticipate a significant need for rent and utility assistance coming up this summer. Therefore, we have really worked to enhance our existing systems for rent assistance. Our primary providers of that tend to be Voluntary Action Center and Phoenix programs and some other programs. So we're providing additional funding there. We are also working to coordinate federal and state funding coming into the community. A lot of the work we do behind the scenes, which isn't very glamorous, is just to coordinate and make sure that we're not duplicating efforts and we're operating as efficiently as possible.
Okay. How long can those suspensions of utility payments and eviction notices, how long can those last? And how can people help, I guess, is a good question for today.
Yeah, a little out of probably our wheelhouse on that. Basically, with rent evictions, that is actually essentially up to the county through the courts and the sheriff's department. On utilities, it's up to each individual utility provider. What folks can do now is to give. You can either give through Como Helps, or another option is the city's existing cash and help programs. That's for Boone Electric and City of Columbia, but for utility assistance. Financial contributions, as I've said in the past, if people have the ability to do that, are the quickest and most efficient way to help out. Really right now, we're just trying to prepare and be ready for what we anticipate to be an even larger need than we already have.
Okay. Joanne, do you have anything to add on this from your perspective?
No, essentially it's the same thing. You know, Stephen, I and try to coordinate all these housing and utility programs and make sure it's important that people reach out to any of their existing, you know, support systems to try and access these utility assistance and housing assistance that are available. And we anticipate we're going to see a lot of new people that have never requested assistance looking for assistance in the next upcoming months.
Okay, let me just remind listeners we're speaking with the organizers of several organizations here in mid-Missouri and Columbia who are benefiting and help others benefit from today's Giving Tuesday Now happening in Columbia. If you have questions or comments about giving right now, how are you giving back during this coronavirus? How are you deciding what to give for relief efforts right now during the crisis? And I'm talking with Steve Hollis from the City of Columbia and Joanne Nelson from Boone County. Joanne and Steve, you have been involved in some of the, when it comes to housing, with the efforts to house the homeless in Columbia, which has had some ups and downs. What is the status of that effort right now?
Yeah, probably the area we always struggle with is our unsheltered population, and we have struggle to meet that need in the middle of a pandemic. Of course, that's an existing issue. And we're still working on that. We've really tried to ramp up our street outreach efforts and supplying supplies and supporting our street outreach team. And I've mentioned, you know, we've tried to make more hand washing and bathroom facilities available. We've been supporting the soup kitchen, Turning Point. And of course, it's important to remember that we've been able to keep our existing shelters open, and they've even been taking new folks, which in many communities, shelters have either closed or stopped taking new folks. So we've provided a lot of technical support to our existing shelters. Certainly not enough. It's something we're working really hard on. One other area that we've worked hard on is to get some money from hotel assistance to get our most vulnerable and sheltered folks off the streets. We've had some success doing that. We continue to work from our prioritization list through the Functional Zero Task Force to try to house people. I think we've housed 8 people, unsheltered folks, permanently in the last month or so, even during the pandemic. So it's not enough. It's a tough issue, but want to assure the community that we continue to work on that and have increased efforts during the pandemic.
Okay, thanks so much for the update on that, Steve Hollis. And thank you, Joanne Nelson, also for joining us today. We're out of time with you. We'll keep going, but I know you're very busy on this day as well. So good luck with all your efforts and all that you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right. Again, you're listening to The Check-In on KBIA, and we're talking with the directors of several organizations here in Mid-Missouri on Giving Tuesday Now. If you're giving, if you're making decisions about where to give, what to give to, let us know. If you're in need, you're someone who needs resources and you have questions about that, you have the people on the line here. You can ask about this. We've got Andrew Graybaugh with the United Way. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us today.
As always, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And Eric Morse from Veterans United. Welcome to the check-in, Eric.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Thanks. It's great to have you both. So let me know how things are going. Andrew, why don't we start with the United Way? You were on before, and you've been on the front lines providing assistance to folks who need it. What support has the United Way provided, and what are specific ways that the organization can use help and funding right now to bolster its efforts in Mid-Missouri?
Yes, sure. So thank you again. You're doing quite a marathon this afternoon.
I know. Yes, it's a marathon of, you know, people giving back to the community. So it's quite a fun marathon.
It's true. So, well, United Way made 3 promises when the pandemic struck last month. We promised that 100% of all donations raised through our Como Helps efforts would go to local health and human service nonprofits. Mm-hmm. We made a promise that funds would be available quickly, and we made a promise that agencies would have the flexibility to meet kind of the emerging needs as the crisis unfolds with the use of these funds. And so United Way, working with the Como Helps Collaborative, has made 10 grants to local health and human service organizations here in our community that range from everything that my colleagues have mentioned, helping with rent support assistance and food and basic needs. And the collaborative has been incredibly helpful because, Janet, the one thing that this has allowed us to do, which is really important, it's allowed us to make grants in a way that complement one another, and it ensures that we don't duplicate efforts. And it really leverages the dollars that we raise. And so United Way has been very proud of that partnership because we've gotten a lot of miles out of the dollars that we've secured.
Okay, that sounds great. Eric, let me ask you here, because Veterans United also provides a lot of support to various causes throughout the year. How has your organization had to change gears during the pandemic to meet the new sets of needs posed by coronavirus?
Well, I don't know if we really changed gears. Yeah. We found a new one, I think.
Okay.
So in some ways, you know, our foundation is I'm kind of a different partner in the Como Helps Collaborative, which, as Andrew said, and everybody else you've talked to about this, it's amazing to have this partnership and the view that we're able to have and ability to meet these needs. And so in my role, I'm president of the board of the Veterans United Foundation. And almost immediately, what I kept hearing from people was, how can I help? What is it that I can do? And in some ways, like, I'm ready. I really want to be a part of this. And in other ways, people feeling like, I feel helpless, or I feel like I don't have the ability to reach out to people. And then you stick them in their homes alone, and they really feel like there's nothing they can do for others. But our foundation is funded by our employees. And so as they were reaching out saying, we want to give help. Our response was on behalf of the foundation, in addition to what we normally do with, as you mentioned, the things throughout the year, the organizations and partners that we support, we pledged $1 million, so $500,000 here locally in the Columbia area, and then the rest to our other communities that we serve physically throughout the country. And it was a direct response, I guess, to needs within the communities we serve, but also a direct response and reflection of what our employees wanted to do. And so that was one way that employees and our foundation, people felt like, I am doing something.
Okay.
So that, in addition to the normal efforts that we're still doing for the foundation.
Well, interesting. Eric, you raised something that was sort of on my list of questions here as well that our team were wondering about, which is people do feel sort of helpless sometimes and want to, you know, where a lot of us are sitting at home. And if you have the luxury of being bored and in that situation, you're wondering how you can help. But some people might not have a lot of money. I know time and time again, we hear that if you have money, money is what you should give right now. It's just, these are going to the assistance efforts for people who are really struggling. And money is the best thing. Are there ways, let me ask you first, Eric, are there ways for people to get involved that don't involve money, that involve volunteering, time, talent in any way at the moment?
You know, that's an additional way that it's been confusing, in that people who normally volunteer, usually they do that by rolling their sleeves up somewhere.
Yes.
And that's a hard thing right now too. And so that's something that not only our employees, but our community is really known for that. And so for them not to be able to do that right now, it adds to it, right? And I don't know of a magical solution people have found. Being a part of giving is a good thing, of course, but also people have, they have things that they do on the side. People who have decided to make masks, right? Like, not only is that helpful in some applications, but it's also helpful to that person who is now feeling like I'm spending my time doing something for someone else, which we see is a way for them not only to do something that makes someone else feel good, but that makes them feel good as well.
That's great.
And then also,
Go ahead, Eric.
They
we're
may
we're
have
almost
a
out of
social
time,
media
yeah.
platform.
Yes.
And just share the efforts, and they may share what Como Helps is doing.
Okay, great. So we can look for you, Veterans United, on social media. We can look for you in the United Way as well. Andrew Graybaugh, Eric Moores, thank you so much for joining. I'm sorry, we're out of time. We just have to have you both back.
Sounds good. Thank
you. Okay,
so much.
Good
Absolutely.
Luck today. Thank you. All
Thanks.
Right. That's it for the check-in today. Thanks very much to all of these guests, John Baker, Lindsay Young-Lopez, Steve Hollis, Joanne Nelson, Andrew Graybaugh, and Eric Moores for joining us today. Thank you for listening. If you're listening and needing help, you can call 211. The United Way is there, as always, to help you. You can also go to comohelps.org, as we were talking about. You can donate money there to help relief efforts today and every day. The food bank's website is sharefoodbringhope.org. Again, that's sharefoodbringhope.org. You can give help or get help there. To donate to KBIA, it's 882-9136, and some of that money will go to the food bank. Thanks so much for checking in today. Tomorrow, we've got Senator Caleb Rowden, Representative Kip Kendrick, both joining us. We'll see you here for that. Same time, same place. I'm Janet Saidi. Stay well and stay in touch.